today on Real Radio.
When you fall into the grace that God provides and that God offers, when you fall into that relationship with Him, it's a freeing experience. Then why do so many people fight against it? Because it's hard for some people to accept gifts. Did you know that? You got to be humble to accept a gift.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called There's No Other Gospel, Part 3, continues in his series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering chapter 1 with verses 1 through 10. How can we who are sinful by nature come to a God who is holy by nature? For our sins have separated us from God, and even now, sin dominates our lives. The gospel of Jesus Christ can set you free. But as we approach the end of the age, so-called false Christs and false messages will arise. So then, what is the correct gospel? Well, there's only one correct gospel, and that's believing that Christ came, lived, died, and rose again to pay the debt fully for our sin and give us eternal life in heaven with Him. There is no other message than that. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that Christ loved us before we ever loved Him. The law cannot save us, but Christ has redeemed us through His love, having become the curse of the law for us. Christ has set us free with His gospel of grace. And now continuing his lesson called There's No Other Gospel, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When Jesus died on the cross, He canceled sin's debt. He fulfilled the demands of the law. The Old Testament economy of God, Christ on the cross, fulfilled it. Listen, once the law was completely fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the law was now, let me put it to you this way, its belly was now full. It was satisfied. The law, which stands for perfection. Listen, do you think that you can get to heaven by keeping the law? Oh, let me back up a little bit further, draw it closer to home. Are you one in here today that would say that doing certain rites and acts would get you a position with God or better with God? Are you so caught up and have you been so deceived that you think that worshiping God on a set day is the key to your freedom and acceptance to God? You've been duped. Paul says, let other people bicker about what day they're going to worship God on. He says, I worship God all the time. I don't worry about days. Now, we need to add a fourth service. Do we do it Saturday night or do we do it Sunday night? I don't know. What about Monday night? What about Tuesday night? What about Thursday night? What about Friday night? Well, can you meet for church on Friday night? The real believer is having church in his head and heart every moment of the day. So let people who are blind to the grace of God bicker about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and when you should celebrate what day and when should you gather for church. They're babes at best in Christ. Sunday is no different to me than any other day other than you and I get to be together on this day. But if the government says no Sunday service, then we'll meet on Saturday. If they say no Saturday service, then we'll meet on Monday. Do you understand that? Can we do that? We're going to do that. And you can sit in the corner and suck your fetal thumb and wonder, can we go to heaven this way? You're caught up in Galatianism, my friend. Be careful. Don't go back to the old system. Paul is warning people. You don't go back to sacrificing lambs. He says, I'm marveling that you would turn away to what? Ooh, to what? Romans 10:4 says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Can I say that again? Just because it drives some of you legalistic people nuts. Romans 10 verse 4 says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Man, is that not liberating? Golly. Romans 8, beginning at verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Verse 2 goes on to say, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son. You see the logic? The law could never be met unless God sent his son to do it. And his son did it as he condemned sin in his own flesh, Romans 8, verse 4 says. So the law was designed, listen carefully, the law, the Old Testament law, was designed to show man their sinfulness. The law was never intended to save a person. Never. It was never given by God to do that. Did you know that? That's why it's so silly for somebody to say to you, well, if you just keep the law, if what? Wait a minute. The giving of the law was never to save a man. It was to show a man his fault, his sin. Well, what good is that? It's a great good. See, you can't save somebody who's proud. You can't get anybody to come to the Savior unless they first own up to the fact that they're a sinner. Sinners need saviors. Example, me. I'm a sinner. I need the Savior. Because I'm a sinner, I love the Savior. I need him. He doesn't need me. He first loved me before I ever loved him. I'm so grateful that I get to stand in front of you and often pinch myself trying to figure out, is this really real? What's happening to us? That we're growing more in the knowledge and the grace of Christ. To continue on in God's promise. But the law could never save a man. If somebody comes up to you and says, yeah, believing in Jesus Christ, that's great. Plus, or how about, or what if, watch out for Galatianism. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, but Christ has redeemed us, past tense, it's already done, from the curse, that is the demands of the law, having become a curse for us. And so when he says, I'm amazed, he's saying, I can't believe, I'm shocked that you've begun. You've started to drift. You are now embarking upon your first steps of the wrong path. To turn away. As we gave announcements this morning, you saw the great earth movers and stuff moving the property dirt. The word to turn away is a word much like that. That word means to not only put your weight on another, but there is this implied logic and reason that what they're doing is bringing themselves, by departing from the gospel that saves you, they are moving over to an area that churns them up, that turns over the soil, that frustrates and upsets. As that blade cuts through the earth, it turns old ground way down deep up to the top, turns things over. Now, in our application, that's a good thing for construction. Has to happen. But in spiritual matters, be very careful. He's going to warn us about people who desire to turn us away. Did you know that? There's people living and breathing right now who desire to turn you. They get a rush out of turning you away from the truth and you getting messed up in their thing. It's terrible. More on those guys in a little bit. Very, very dangerous. A warning against going back. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 says, we then, as workers together with Christ, plead with you, do not receive the grace of God in vain. Strong words, no doubt. Number one, he warns us about going back. Number two, he warns us about refusing the gift. He says in verse 6 that it's God who called you in the grace of Christ. Can you look at your Bible carefully? Some of your Bibles have called you in the grace of Christ. And I think it's the old King James that correctly puts it. God called you into the grace of Christ. You're enveloped into it. Listen, you guys, you ever seen the Neste Plunge commercial back in 1948, whenever that was? Remember back in the olden days, that guy'd be standing on the edge of the pool. He's hot and sweaty. And he takes that Neste or Lipton, I don't care. It doesn't matter what thing it is. It looks so good, though. He takes the tea and he drinks it. And right when he drinks it, he falls into this beautiful pool and he's engulfed in this water. And you can almost feel and hear the guy go, ah. When you fall into the grace that God provides and that God offers, when you fall into that relationship with him, it's a freeing experience. Then why do so many people fight against it? Because it's hard for some people to accept the gifts. Did you know that? You got to be humble to accept a gift. In fact, you want to test somebody's level of pride? I know we'd never do this to each other, but somewhere else. Offer somebody something. Men are the worst at dinner. You go out to dinner, and it doesn't even matter if you can afford it or not. You're going to die for the check, acting like you can afford it. Oh, I got that, I got that. And you're thinking, oh gosh, I hope he rips it out of my hand and takes it from me. I hope somebody steps in and rescues me from this bill. Men do that, it's a big deal. I got it, I'll take it from here, I'll take it. It's tough for somebody to say, you know what? Oh, try this next time, it'll drive your friend crazy. I'll pay the bill, I'll pay it. You will, that is so kind of you, God bless you, that's great. You know what, hallelujah. Woo! If I would have known you were gonna pay, we would have gone to somewhere as nice, you know? Next time, could you let me know that you're gonna pay? We'll pick a nicer place. You see, Jesus steps in and pays the debt freely. And he keeps us saved freely. Galatianism fights against that. Galatians says, I'll take it from here, God. Thank you very much. Be careful. There's a going back and there's a refusing of the gift. He says that it's God who called you into the grace, that you've been enveloped into it, ensconced by it. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily. That's the command that's placed upon us. We should be exhorting each other daily while it is called today. Do you know what that means? Urgently. That means today, when you guys break up from here and you go to Mimi's or Taco Bell or wherever you go and you see somebody from this church, you need to go up to them and you know what? As much as you want to say, oh man, did you see, you know, the skating last night or what? Hey, go up to them and say, man, isn't God speaking to us this morning out of his word? Encourage them. Say, man, isn't God good? I mean, look at us. And God still loves us. We eat at Taco Bell. God's at Taco Bell. He's wherever you go. We need to encourage each other. We're so proper. Hello? We're Christians. You guys, we're going to heaven forever with each other. And we walk out of here and we're like, what is that? We're going to be in heaven forever. And it's like we're afraid to be around somebody. So, well, I'm not good in crowds. Well, I don't know if you're going to like heaven very much. You know, I don't like a crowd either, but if you think about it, when you're worshiping and in the Word together, this is a crowd. It's kind of neat, though, when the crowd's all going in the same direction. Doesn't make it feel like a crowd. I guess if you turned around and tried to go and turn away, you'd look like, you know, somebody out of step, huh? And some of you this morning are feeling that way. Maybe friends have invited you here. They've brought you. You know God is calling your heart, your life to Him. There's a thing going on in your life, and the Holy Spirit's been telling you you ought not to do that. You shouldn't be doing this. And now you feel all of a sudden like you're going, starting to turn and go upstream. And it's difficult. Let me tell you, if God loves you, it's going to get more difficult because He loves you so much. He spanks His kids and He brings them back home. Number three, the warning He gives is regarding a different kind of grace. A different kind of grace? Yeah, listen to this, verse 6. Paul is shocked. He's marveling that they're turning away to a different gospel. Take your pen out and your highlighter. Some of your Bibles say another gospel. It goes on to verse 7 to say, which is not another gospel. You ought to circle the word another if it's the first word you have in verse 6. It's actually the word different. It's two different Greek words completely from verse 6 to 7. Not another in the same word as another. This is in verse 6, a different gospel. Well, wait a minute. Is there other gospels? Well, let's put it this way. The word gospel means good news, the pleasant announcement, the good news of God. That's the gospel. Title, that's its name. But what does it, listen, you might say, well, you're splitting hairs. Just hang on. The gospel of Christ is a gospel that liberates, sets free. There's only one. It is the gospel of the ages, says the Bible. It's the gospel of the kingdom. Paul says in another book, it's my gospel, because it's got to be your gospel too. It is the everlasting gospel, book of Revelation. It is God's message to mankind. And it is absolutely the perfect announcement, or we call it gospel. Okay? The evangel. There's only one. So Paul says here, there is a group, there's a person, there's a people, there's a movement that's trying to pull you away to a different gospel. There is no gospel, but they're posing it as a gospel. Are you with me, everybody? But it's different. And the word here is a very, very important word. It is a different kind. Example, we're all humans, but we're not all females. We're not all males. There are females in here and there are males in here. This is the word heteros. The word opposite is homo. Heteros versus homo. Homo the same, heteros different. In this case, a different heteros gospel is a bad thing. It is a gospel announcement, but it is not the original gospel. Paul is implying that back 2,000 years ago, somebody came on the scene and introduced to them something that they called the gospel, when in reality, by definition, it was not the original. Ooh, does that sound familiar today? Am I yelling? I'm so excited about this. You guys, this set me free. And if you don't understand it, just act like you do. This is Bible bedrock. There's a different kind of grace that we're warned against. Jesus, if you remember, made that great statement to Peter. Remember, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, what? "The gates of hell will not prevail against my," what? "Church." Well, wait a minute. Do you see what's going on in the region of Galatia? Jesus has long since ascended. Paul could have said, "Didn't you guys hear that Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against his church? You're under attack. The attack is not going to be victorious. Stand firm in the grace wherewith Christ and the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free." Now watch. He's warning them. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. So let me say this. In the last 2,000 years, if Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church, and he bore blessing to it on the day of Pentecost by sending the Holy Spirit, can you show me, can you tell me a day, a year, a generation where his church did fail, where the gates of hell did prevail against the church of Christ? Well, you might say, well, there was the dark ages. Those were dark ages. Those were dark ages, but the church did not cease to exist. Was the church small? Yeah. Has the church gone through the oscillation of growth and being popular, then being small and persecuted? Of course, that's history. Watch this. But did the church ever cease to exist contrary to the words of Jesus Christ himself? The answer is no. If you're shy, the answer is no. Jesus is not a liar. Jesus is not wrong. Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Then why am I told at my doorstep that the gates of hell did prevail against the church and the birth of a new church was needed to save people in the face of Christ? And I know all the answers and I know your rebuttals if you're of that persuasion. I've been there, believe me. Be careful. And be warned against a different gospel, which is an attempt to put forth a different grace, which is no grace at all. Very, very dangerous. Number four, there's no other gospel but the gospel of grace, in that we're warned against additional revelations. He says in verse 7, which is not another. This is a different gospel that you're hearing, you churches of Galatia. And by the way, it is not the original. It's different. It's not another. It's something different. It's very important. There's no other gospel coming. You guys see that 2,000 years ago, Paul said back then, no other gospel was coming. You don't have to wait for anything. The gospel had come. Now, some of you need to deal with this. The gospel 2,000 years ago had already come. That is a fact. Some of you can feel where I'm going right now. The warning is this: watch out, because there are people preaching that there's more to this gospel. You need more. Proverbs 30, verse 6. Write it down. You'll want it in your margins next to verse 7. Proverbs 30, verse 6 says, "Do not add to the word, lest he rebuke you and you be found to be a liar." Whenever you add to the Bible, you're going to be in big trouble. Big trouble. The Jehovah's Witnesses have what's called the New World Translation. It's their book. It's different from your Bible. And if you are a Jehovah's Witness, listen carefully. I know something you don't know. And I got it from a 28-year-long veteran who worked for the Watchtower Society in Brooklyn, New York, a senior member, told me that the New World Translation, the Watchtower, knows who translated it. So no. We've been told that nobody knows who did it, because the man you were told is so humble, he is so meek, that he wouldn't even let his name be known. Well, how convenient is that? His name is Johann Greber. Johann Greber is the author of the New World Translation of the Bible. To give you one verse out of it, John chapter 1, verse 1 says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." Did you hear that? Rather than what the Bible says. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then verse 14 says, "And this Word became flesh and dwelt among us."
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called "There's No Other Gospel, Part 3. Thanks for listening today, and our hope is that you've come to Christ by accepting His free gift of eternal life. There's No Other Gospel, Part 3 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that defines the struggles we endure between faith and works and the doctrine of justification, which is promised to every true believer. Today was day 2 of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, did you know that we post a brand new Real Life TV program every Friday morning? Great sermons from Pastor Jack brought to you every Friday. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click the Watch tab. Join us for the Real Life TV program every Friday morning. How would you like to get more of Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs? Well, you can do that at YouTube. Just go to youtube.com and look up Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Watch some messages you might have missed. There are weekly messages from Pastor Jack, Real Life programs, some special messages on events that are coming up. There's even an interesting intro to Christianity right there at YouTube. Go to YouTube and look up Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Really, anything that Pastor Jack wants to share with us is available for you right there at YouTube. So don't forget, set your notifications up to know when Pastor Jack has put something new on YouTube. Over 500 videos on YouTube, lots of content. So go to YouTube and visit with us. Just look for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Hey, by the way, have you had a chance to visit Real Life with Jack Hibbs lately? It's great to see the changes that come up quite often at the website. All kinds of stuff you can find there. You can watch or listen to any of Pastor Jack's sermons there, catch up on some lessons you might have missed, and also get that weekly devotional from Pastor Jack. A lot of folks really enjoy that. You can donate right there if you'd like. Check it out, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. By the way, if you've got somebody that's asking questions about the Lord, ask that person to go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the Know God tab. This could be a great opportunity to make a big change in someone's life. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. By the way, if you have a question about anything you might have heard on the radio today, head over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and hit the Contact tab. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org and hit the Contact tab. We would love to put you in contact with somebody who can help you out with your question. It's not a problem at all. Just get a hold of us, hit the Contact tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.